Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today we're talking about Amnesty episode 23. The shit that happened in this episode was buck wild, and it was so nuts that I don't even think I have that much to say about it. I'm kind of, like, baffled. I'm at a loss for words here.
Yeah, okay, so I'm really glad that you said that, because I was about to say, Rach, I have, I guess, like, a pretty, like, this is, it looks like a lot of notes, but I think it was mostly me reacting to things. I don't think I have a whole lot of, I don't think I have a whole lot of analysis.
My notes are all just like, what the fuck? Oh, shit! It's like nothing... Nothing actually useful to say, just like a one big kind of like interrobang inside my mind.
For whatever reason, I have Morocco beans in all caps. Just that's one of my bullet points. Is just
I know what Morocco beans was. If you need to remember,
yeah. What is that?
It was so the light being the creature Griffin said that the particles floating around it. Mm. Some of the particles all had different movement. So yeah, to jump right into it, new abomination is apparently the thing that comes out of the other abominations. It's the four-armed light beings. This one is like, I don't know, is it like, I can't even speculate on what's going on here, I don't know. Like, my only thought was like, maybe this is like, are we seeing the transitional stage? But I'm guessing it's probably already full abomination. This is just like what it is. I guess because I'm thinking, like, if the abominations, once they're defeated, the light beings are kind of freed from them. Like, are they light beings in the first place? And then do they turn into an abomination and then, like, turn back out of it when they're defeated?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Morocco beans, the particles. So this abomination, which is one of these four-armed light beings, has these particles floating around it that... This makes sense, actually. So if all the other abominations... These light beings are inside of them, and they're wearing... The abomination is like a skin around them. Like the previous ones, water monster skin, grease monster skin, tree monster. This one's skin is particles that float around it and can make it turn into anything it wants to turn into.
Yes. Oh, you go ahead.
Well, I was just to get back to the Morocco beans thing. Griffin said that the particles were moving around in, like, sort of different movement patterns. Oh. One of them being, like, Morocco beans, even though he had never seen what those look like going around inside the Morocco. It's what he was imagining.
All right. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
As far as I remember, that's where Morocco beans came from.
All right. Sounds legit to me.
Oh, and by the way, I wanted to point out that Ned immediately made your twin brother joke. Chelsea.
Oh, God, yes. I was so... I'm so glad that he did. I was thinking it, and then they said it, so I was pretty satisfied.
Yeah, that was good. So, like, not only is... I don't know what... I have no way to... I don't have anything to say about this thing. I've said all I can say, I guess, my sort of ideas about it, but, like, I don't know. I, like, have to just wait and see what's going to happen, because I really am not sure what we're going to find out from this encounter.
Yeah. So, okay. So the last time we tried to analyze this thing, we speculated that maybe it has a conscience, maybe it's actually thinking, and that it's different from all the other abominations because it is, like, it seems to have some kind of sentience or something going on.
Right.
So, I mean, given the new information that we have in that it can choose forms, it can, you know, strategize, because obviously it was able to strategize, like, closing the door behind itself or, like, taking on this new persona of this thing that it just killed. Like,
yes.
If I think, first of all, I think I like calling it the mimic.
I like that, too. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
I had previously, well, and so that's the thing is... I was thinking maybe it was able to improvise, but it sounds like it isn't. Like, it sounds like it either sees or absorbs a thing in its little pocket dimension, and then it analyzes memories, and then it reproduces things from the memories, if I don't even know if that's accurate.
Oh.
Or something.
I see. Okay, so, are you suggesting that... The things that it's turned into, Gregor, Mortis, and Danny, they have been sucked into that rift just like Ned has.
Yeah.
And I didn't make that connection because, okay, that makes sense, actually. No, that makes sense because that's why, again, another totally baffling piece of information. Ned's standing in this weird, like, computer chamber.
Yeah. Tron, I had. And, like, going through.
But, like, having his memories basically looked through. And, I mean, yeah. If that's what this thing can do, that would explain why it was then able to answer all of these questions as if it were the real Gregor Mortis.
Yes. Yeah.
If it had, like, and that would explain also. So, okay, this exonerates Danny completely in my mind, which is wild because I was so, like, I was pretty much convinced, like, oh, shit, Danny did this in the last episode. Yeah. But that would explain why she has, like, this fuzzy memory of that evening, because if she got absorbed into the rift and got copied,
yes,
that might explain it. But it doesn't explain. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, Gregor Mortis died, and Danny is alive. So
Gregor might have died. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
and another thing.
Oh, you go ahead.
Well, so it was able to just cop when Ned holds up a scalpel at it. It didn't have to absorb the scalpel into the rift in order to copy the scalpel. It just formed a scalpel. So is there a difference if what it's doing is pulling this thing into some kind of pulling people into this dimension where it can, like, analyze them and copy them more completely? Is that different? Can it also copy stuff on the fly?
That's the thing. I wrote down here that it doesn't improvise. It just mimics. So, but, like, by on the fly, do you mean, like, it saw a thing once and it can recall it and reproduce it?
Yeah, I just mean, like, Ned holds up a scalpel, so this thing sees the scalpel and is like, well, here's my scalpel, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess maybe the process of it mimicking a person, I guess, might be more complicated, and that's why it has to, like, absorb them, like, temporarily in order to do that.
Like, it has to absorb the scalpel? Wait.
No, it didn't have to absorb the scalpel. It just saw the scalpel. But if it did, did it have to pull Ned into the rift? Is the point that it's going to be able to imitate Ned?
Is that... That's my logical conclusion.
Okay, yeah. And, like, that's as good an explanation for the rift as any I came up with, which is zero, so I'm, like, totally on board with your idea, because it's, like, the only idea I have.
Well, okay, because I think it would make for, like, a juicy, like, arc if their Bomb-Bomb is this mimic. Because, I mean, like, okay, so towards the end of the episode, they were talking about, like, oh, God, we need, like, a password so that we know if you're the mimic or not, you know? Because if this thing is able to absorb a thing and reproduce personality traits and stuff.
Yeah, so yes, that's the thing.
So
I think that might... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm assuming that the next logical thing it has to do is it's going to reproduce Ned.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this is really interesting because that means... if we're not totally wrong about this, then it's... Because this is... I did not think about this at all while I was listening, but it seems like you might be right about this. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
If its power then exists on, like, two levels, it can just see something and copy it. Mm-hmm. Or it can, like, pull someone in and then...
Reproduce it?
Understand its personality on a deeper level and then be able to mimic it more fully. So, like, a scalpel doesn't speak. It can just see a scalpel and imitate it.
Yeah.
Ostensibly, I'm thinking it could see a person and imitate them, but it might not be able to imitate them well unless it had, like... combed through its memories somehow,
I guess. Yeah, like,
and it's really weird that is the rift the okay so Ned is in, like, this hotel room. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck is he? Is he in, like, is that inside the rift still? Is he in a different dimension? How is that space different from the computer program that he was in, like, ostensibly? Like, what is, there's, like, a lot of layers to this, and I'm very confused in a good way. Like, I really enjoyed this episode. Yeah, I, like, feel like, oh yes, this is juicy as hell. I have nothing to say about it because it's so, like, out of left field in some ways.
I am following. It's just I don't know where I am. So
yeah, it's like shit feels like it's popping off. I feel like if I'd been listening to Balance a little slower, I'm trying to make an analogy, and I feel like is it tired that we keep. Do we need to not always go back and compare this arc to Balance?
Well, I mean, I think we kind of, if it comes up, it's going to come up. And it would be disingenuous. It would be disingenuous of us to not discuss it, because we are an Adventure Zone podcast. Adventure Zone being both Amnesty and Balance, yes, and everything else.
Okay, good. I'm down with that, because it's coming up for me right now. All right. And the question is, I'm trying to think if there were any... I feel like there were moments in the Balance arc that if I had listened to it at a week-by-week or like a bi-weekly pace, I would have felt this way about it. Like, what the fuck just happened? That kind of thing.
Maybe.
But since I listened to it all so fast, I don't, like... Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess the reason I'm comparing to Balance is because I'm trying to find a foothold here. It's the only thing I can think of, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, if something like this happened in Balance, and then that's the direction Griffin went in. Now that this is happening in Amnesty, can I use that as a way to guess what direction he's going in now?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know if I can come up with anything specifically.
See, and that's the thing, is we listened to it so quickly. We got our questions answered so quickly. That, yeah, we never had to wrestle with not knowing what comes next. Because, mm-hmm, I don't know that there was ever a point... Like, I feel like everything that happened in Balance, there was always, like... You already kind of knew who the villain was, or you already knew what the goal was by when you started the arc. Like,
yeah,
the trace, it's kind of like they didn't always... They never actually went into a dungeon, but, like, they started an arc and they had a clear goal. Whereas this one is,
yeah,
they start the arc and they kind of know that people die.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's different, and that's why it feels unfamiliar, and that's why it's like, it's hard to grasp at it, because we're used to grasping at some things, but this is not the same thing.
That's true, actually, even in like, well, I don't know, because Balance had very clear, like, RPG tropes, yes, that were, and fantasy tropes that, yes, we were following, but I feel like this arc has... pretty clear, like, crime drama mystery tropes that we're following.
Yeah, but Griffin's also making up a lot of this stuff. Like, the whole tree thing. Remember how lost we were about the whole tree thing?
Yeah.
We like, they had, what, maybe 6-7 episodes about the tree thing? We didn't understand a thing until, like, the end of the 4th episode. Maybe.
Yeah.
Not even actually maybe until, like, the middle of the 5th episode. Like, and it's not... like a knock on the boys or a knock on Griffin or anything.
No, not at all.
But it's just, it's a different way of storytelling. It's still satisfying, but it's, yes, just, it's hard for me because I don't know any better.
What I'm trying to figure out is the place that Ned is in now, in this, like, hotel,
yeah,
conference room.
Yeah.
Did the creature pull him into a rift, and now he is inside a space that's separate from normal Earth?
Oh, I expected so, yeah.
Well, it's also possible that the rift just went from one part of Earth to another, that it was more like a portal than like a door. Well, more like as... I don't know how to differentiate this, but... like, maybe it's the hotel at the next city over.
Oh.
And he's he's not, like, in a, like, another dimension. He's just in another space, and the rift was, like, a physical shortcut.
That is an interesting... Okay, that's neat, but also...
I don't know if that's the case. I don't think we have enough information to know whether or not that's, like, which version of this it is.
But the bomb can't travel more than a mile outside the radius of the thing.
That's true. I mean, okay, so let me fix my scenario here. Yeah. It could be a hotel down, like, an old hotel down the road.
Yeah.
That's still within the allocated, like, area of,
yeah,
effect.
Yeah, yeah. So is it a space, is it a black hole where it just pops them out in different, like, the same plane, but a different area of that plane?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
is it,
that's
like,
my
a whole
question.
Different dimension? Cause
exactly.
I have it on my notes. I wrote maybe, I was like, question mark Sylvain? Like, is... When it was running away from the wasp or the hornets or whatever, and they wandered by the gate, we assumed that it went,
yes,
through the gate.
Yes.
But I don't think it went through the gate. I think it cut a rift into time space and it jumped into there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't made that connection. That's possible. And I also think in this case, I don't think the place Ned is Sylvain, although it could be. But,
yeah,
the reason I don't think it is because Griffin took a lot of pains to explain how weird the geometry is in Sylvain.
Yes.
Not like the actual geometry, but the way the buildings are made.
Yes.
Like the kind of Dr. Seuss buildings,
yes,
or whatever. And I feel like this conference room or hotel, this, like, hotel looks just like a standard Earth hotel.
It sounds earthy as shit.
Yeah, so I expect, if anything, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, anything's possible. But I'm not sure what to make of this. And basically, that's my open question about it.
Yeah. No.
My other open question about it is, and this is also another layer to the confusion here, is that when Ned was in the computer program that was reading his memories, Billy talked to him?
Yes.
So is Billy, like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to, like, connect that to what else has happened.
Yeah. Okay. I have.
All of my, yeah, go for it.
Well, I have a wacky idea.
Do it, because all my ideas are only wacky also. Okay,
so you know how every time something escapes from a bomb, we see the light beings, right?
Yes.
What if, and this is the wacky part, what if the light beings share, like, a consciousness or something?
I was going to make this, okay, that's the only thing I could think of.
Okay.
Or not the only thing, but I was also thinking, okay, like, cool. Hive mind? Like, something, is there, like, a hive mind thing
something
going
maybe,
on?
Yeah, and because, well, so that's the thing about Billy is, I was never sure if Billy himself was part of the bomb, or if Billy was just, like, a manufactured consequence of the bomb's powers, you know? I leaned on he was a manufactured thing and not actually the bomb. But if he's able to access this, like, space where Ned is trapped because it's a bomb thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that, I think, supports the idea that maybe the bomb are all, like, a hive mind or a swarm or something.
Yeah, I'm a longtime Ender's Game fan, so you can't rule out hive mind.
Oh, hell yeah.
but, yeah, so it's possible that Billy is just, because Billy is one of these creatures, like, they had access to whatever system is in play right now somehow. But we both had this hive mind idea, so I want to explore it.
Yeah.
Like, Billy in the first place was one out of a couple different sort of emanations of that abomination, right? Until then, we'd only seen the abomination come one at a time. And I don't know that anyone with expert knowledge like Mama or Minerva ever said specifically, oh, they only come one by one.
Yeah.
But it did feel like the tree and the three Billy Goats Gruff were kind of a package deal. So I don't know why. Yeah, I had that same idea of, like, maybe it's like a hive mind situation. Yeah. I don't know. It sounds really weird.
And also, like, the thing that's inhabiting Thacker, I think we agreed that it's probably something, I forget, the thrush, the thrill.
The quell. And Hacker refers to the thing inhabiting Thacker, I believe, refers to itself in, like, a royal we.
Yes. Yep.
Pronoun.
Yep. Which further supports the thing that says that maybe the quell has something to do with the bombs. Maybe they're one and the same or something. And, like, that would make a whole lot of sense if the thing inhabiting Thacker was a hive mind, but also if the way that Billy or whatever can communicate within that space is, like, by a screen and typing and stuff. Like, wasn't computers and shit Thacker's whole deal? Like, wasn't that...
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. What else? Oh, no, I don't know. Like, there is something about, like... The other thing I was thinking of was Billy somewhere in Amnesty headquarters knowing what was happening somehow. Even, like, maybe hive mind, which, even though I thought that, it sounds like a ridiculous idea, which is why I didn't want to say it. But going away from that idea, like... Billy finds a computer in Amnesty, logged, like, he hacks in and, like, is trying to talk to Ned just because Billy's familiar with the computer program that all of them use, something like that. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't know. And see, the computer thing kind of throws me for a loop. Like, if it was just a voice or something, then I think that would be more in the favor of our whole hive mind bomb thing.
Yeah.
But because it's, like, computery and sciency, I don't know anymore.
Here's a fucking out of left field suggestion. Maybe no, that doesn't make sense. I was gonna say maybe the whole world is in some kind of simulation, like. Just fucking Matrix this shit. Why not? We've already got, like, all these other weird layers of, like, otherworldliness in this story. Yeah. Might as well put all of it in a simulation. Like, you know, like... so interesting.
Yeah, I think that might be as much as I can... I don't even... Yeah, no.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any, like, meaningful speculation I can give about this information because it was all... frankly, very shocking to me, I guess. Or not even shocking, because shocking is like, now I'm making a connection. This is like, I don't know what this is. I like it because I like weird computer stuff and weird voids opening up. And I want to hear more about these light people, but I like don't know what to make of a lot of this information.
Yeah, I think so. It, you know, what is kind of fun about this whole arc is we went into it because we were told cryptids and... you know, we kind of expected cryptids, and we got Bigfoot, and we got some kind of vampires, and we got Mothman. Uh-huh. But the vast majority of the things that we're dealing with are 100% natural griffin headspace.
Yeah, that's kind
stuff.
Of interesting. Yeah, so... I actually vaguely related. I recently was like, yeah, I want some cryptid content. I think so. I'm just gonna plug. I started listening to this podcast called Cryptid Keepers, Ooh. Which is like. Yeah, I'm recommending this to you, Chelsea, and then also, I guess, the listeners. It's like these two ladies just do research on... I actually wonder if they're aware of the McElroys because they... At least one of them is from West Virginia, and they also do another podcast where they play Monster of the Week. And not like the McElroys have a monopoly on Monster of the Week content, but it just seems like two connections in the podcasting world that, like... I can't overlook, but they're very funny and very knowledgeable. They just kind of like research a different cryptid every, I don't know, weekly schedule, I guess. Very fun listen if you're in the mood for some more cryptid content.
I'm always in the mood for more cryptid content.
So yeah, I actually don't, I have some more just like more frivolous comments about this episode, but that's all I had to say about like in terms of plot stuff
because
like
of it.
Yeah honestly I'm just like at this point it's just like
so I think that took care of our conversation about the bomb-bombs and Ned. We can talk about Aubrey real quick trying to pass off as an FBI agent partnered
up that
with
was smooth
agent
as fuck.
Stern.
Smooth as fuck.
What? Holy
crap. It didn't work though, but
I hope it didn't. Well, so I think she made that lie and then Zeke went off somewhere and it didn't
but
work.
I don't think Travis rolled good, right?
He didn't. I think he rolled middling, which meant that he went away.
Okay.
He went away, but I think like Zeke wasn't pointing the gun at them anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But I don't remember what happened next because Zeke left and then they were left with Dewey.
And then, they tried to bullshit Dewey. It didn't work. Then they saw the rift open behind Dewey and the creature came out.
Oh my God,
attacked Dewey. Yeah.
They flung Dewey out the window and now everyone thinks that something.
Well, Dewey and Sheriff Owens both saw. This creature.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the creature did come out, attack Dewey, and then it opened another rift, or did it? Oh, no. It ran
off
into the
woods. No, it ran off into the night like a scary animal, and then Sheriff jumps in the squad car and goes to follow it, and Duck whips out his skateboard and hangs along the back of the car in order to follow along.
I'm so glad that they mentioned Back to the Future because that was the only thing I wrote down.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a specific word, and I guess it was skitch because it was skateboard hitching or something.
I'd never heard that
Me
before,
neither.
But I knew what they meant.
Yeah.
Like, I figured it out through
Back
context.
To the Future!
I also, another funny thing about Duck is that, so when Aubrey kept making, or like, Travis kept joking about Duck. Like having shit his pants at various occasions and then like Justin, you know, yes anded it. So apparently not only is Duck having shit his pants a couple of random times canon, but so is the fact that he told Aubrey about it, which is like, and says some interesting things about his character. Like he's lonely enough or candid enough or both to just like tell this person that, yeah, he got pretty close to, but like hasn't known for that long that about these like intimate, embarrassing details.
That was so good.
Another thing about Aubrey that I liked, and this is kind of a weird, complicated sentiment, but during the fight scene, I liked the part where it grabbed Aubrey by the face and smashed her into the wall for a very specific reason, because I feel like a lot of times in action-oriented fiction, you'll see, like, the action hero, male action hero, getting, like, the shit beat out of him, but I feel like female characters in action scenarios get treated a lot more delicately a lot of the time. And so it's always really refreshing to see, like, you know, even sometimes you'll have, like, fight scenes with female characters, and, like, I feel like they never get hurt as bad. And so for me, seeing a scene like this, or, like, there's some other examples I can think of in movies and stuff, but it's, like, I like seeing it, because it's not like, oh, yeah, I like seeing women get hurt, but more like this, oh, I like seeing this female character get hurt like an action hero, you know? Yeah. Like being seriously involved in the action. I really like that. That's kind of like a random thought, but that kind of stuck out to me.
That's a good thought. One of my last things, I guess, was when Griffin says void or streaks of light, my heart pitter-patters. that was kind of it. Like, there is a lot of things that happened in this episode, but like we said earlier, I don't know what to make out of a lot of it, because I still don't know enough to formulate any sort of sensible analysis.
Yeah.
The only analysis I've got is wild.
The only other thing I want to say is that I felt really bad for Dewey when he was talking about, like, I know everyone thinks I'm an idiot, and that, like, blah, blah, blah. I think it must have all started when Griffin decided to do a dopey accent for this character, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I find him very, I want to protect him. I like the way his character has kind of developed.
Yeah. I don't know why, but he kind of reminds me of Barry Blue Jeans, where he kind of started off as, like, a doofy side whatever character, but now he's been given, like, you know, like, actual character.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, actually. I buy that comparison.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting...
Back on a skateboard, man. I love it.
I love it, too, but I wasn't expecting our Barry Blue Jeans character for this arc to be Deputy Dewey.
I mean, nobody would... I don't think you were expecting Barry Blue Jeans to be the Barry Blue Jeans character in that arc, so...
Man, if Dewey ends up saving everybody at the end of this one, that'd be great.
Voting for Dewey, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all. I can't think of anything else to say
this. My actual last thing was...
Yes.
I mean, clearly the law enforcement have seen the bomb-bombs. I don't know if they can... I don't know how they're going to lie off.
Yeah, I mean, like, the cat is kind of getting farther and farther out of the bag.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah. Don't know where that's going to go either, although I can visualize that a little easier than some of the other plot threads happening right now.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, when all is said and done, if Zeke is going to remember, hey, didn't you say you were with the FBI? Or if they're definitely 100% off, like, Stern is going to come up in the next episode. He better.
Oh, shit.
Because there's a Bigfoot. Because the FBI are involved because of Aubrey.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, so what's interesting is she made that defense... before they actually saw the thing.
Yes.
So that kind of, like, changes things a lot. Because that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. If they tried to corroborate her story and get Stern involved, that would have been like, oh, great. Like, this is where this part of the story pops off, which, honestly, I can't wait for that. But,
like, I hope that they go into it, because Aubrey decided to lie about the FBI and involve the FBI. So I really want to see them get out of that one.
Yeah, that's a lie that's interesting for the story.
Yes, hugely. And also because Stern hasn't done anything since he's been introduced. So if I also want to know, like, of all the things that happened, which one of these bad things that happened were the hard moves, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think we still have a couple that have been earned, but it's just, I don't know which one's which, so.
Yeah, there were a lot of, like, kind of middling roles this episode, I felt like. Things, like, didn't really go their way.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
I think...
Which is fun.
It's super fun. But I think Griffin's doing a good job at pointing out when he has to make a hard move and when it's just you have a choice to make. And usually the choice is you can do this, but there's a consequence, or you can just not do this.
Yeah.
And I feel like that he's keeping it really consistent. So usually if there's like a middling role, that's usually what it is. Because it's hard to think of what it is if it's not that. So, but even... the kind of confusing thing is, even if they do a really, really good role, half the time they still do something, but there's still like a consequence or,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah,
it's kind of confusing still, but it's okay. I'm not as upset about being confused.
Okay, here's my actual last comment.
Yes.
When Ned was first in, like, the simulation thing,
yes,
there was some music that was playing that I wish I was more familiar with the music in this show. Like, I used to be with Balance, because I'm pretty sure that music that was playing in that scene was music that we've heard before, but it was, like, in a different key and kind of distorted. It sounded really familiar to me. And, like, if I knew where that music was from elsewhere in the show, I feel like if Griffin is kind of using, like, themes, that could be a clue to what's going on, you know, like a musical cue.
What a wild...
Like, leitmotif.
What a wild thing it could be. Remember when... In, like, the first or second episode, way back when they were still doing the money or the Max Fun or something. I forget. I don't remember. I don't remember what the occasion was. No, we were just trying to figure out what the next arc was. Beacon. Something to do with Beacon. Something to do with Duck. But there was, like, a specific jazz song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's what it is.
Was it the jazz song? Oh,
I don't think
the one that plays with Minerva?
Yeah. I don't think that's what it is, but that would be such an interesting way to bring about that part of it. Because, and we've talked about this before, is that we talk about so many different worlds, but they all seem so disjointed and they don't care about each other.
Yeah.
So if they could find a way
to pull them together.
Yeah, if they could find a way to bring in Beacon or Beacon's magic or Beacon's world or whatever, and like have Ned now be involved, like that would bring me a lot of joy.
Whoa, that would actually be wild.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's the... that's the musical cue, because I believe the song associated with Minerva was like a guitar piece, and I think this one was piano-ish, but I can't say that for certain.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was like some kind of... It was like a bluesy, jazzy kind of thing. Yep. But it's just, they played it once, and then never again... So
like, I think they played it two times.
Maybe twice, but then never again.
But yeah.
And now Minerva's also like hit by an asteroid, so like who knows?
So not gonna come back probably. Well, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens.
Leo just started, he has it as a ringtone.
Okay. Where can people find us, Chelsea?
Rach, folks can find us on Twitter. We are at Taz Talk Podcast.
You can also find us on Tumblr at taztalk.tumblr.com or on Gmail at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can look us up on iTunes.
Cool. You know, I think that might be
and
it.
Then, yeah, that's it.
Well, okay, bye.
Yeah, until next time, bye.